Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
At home or in your office, just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's Wednesday at 5 o'clock. That means it's time for our great friend, Michael Wilbon. You see him on television every single day. You hear him with us. Huge Chicago sports fan. Waddle, he's brought to you by your guys.
That's right. Mike brought to you by HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Michael, how you feeling today?
I'm good. I'm good. Looking forward to some stuff on the weekend and some NBA games, big NBA games like Celtics Sixers tonight and some news with Northwestern, but you know, a quarterback transferring in from South Carolina, or at least that's what I read. And you know, there's a lot of stuff going on as we move toward another one of those times that's packed with sports when we get into NBA, college basketball, Super Bowl, all that stuff going on at once. So I'm happy to be getting there.
And on the football conversation, before we get to the Bears, I was jotting this down. I was just curious. What are you more interested in this weekend? Is it the AFC title game with the young guns at quarterback, or is it the NFC title game with the great veterans under center?
Well, you know what? That's interesting, Tommy, because I was thinking about why I'm more interested in Packers Tampa. I just think it's because I lived in, I'm from an NFC city. I'm from a charter city of the National Football League. And then the other city that I've lived all my life, and I've lived my whole life in Chicago and Washington, two NFC cities with, traditional teams, one from 1920 and one from 1932. I think the Washington, the Redskins, as born in Boston, NFC, old National Football League city and team. That's all my life in those places. So while I've covered football and been in all those AFC places, I was in Buffalo for all the big games they played, all of them, because I was covering the NFL for the Washington Post then. I still identify with, especially when it's Packers. I mean, Tampa's only been around since ever, 1976 or something like that. But my whole life is hating the Packers, or at least paying attention to the Packers. So I can't run away from that.
I want to bring this up either later in today's show or tomorrow for our listeners to weigh in. But while I have you on the line, answer this. I asked this to Watt on the pre-show fist fight. Of the four quarterbacks, Rodgers, who's only won one, Mahomes, who could win back-to-back, Tom Brady, who could win for the first time without Bill Belichick, or Allen, who could put himself on the map with his first Super Bowl win, which quarterback has the most at stake?
Rodgers. That's easy. I mean, we all think of Aaron Rodgers as an all-time great, but one doesn't distinguish you. Now, he's distinguished himself with his play. But for the casual fan that just wants to count rings, I mean, one is half what Ben Roethlisberger's got. One is half what Eli Manning has, half what Jim Plunkett has. And none of those three guys are in the Hall of Fame at all and don't know if they're going to get there. I mean, one is, one puts you with a whole lot of folks. One puts you tied with Trent Dilfer, right? Tied with Joe Flacco. So it's Aaron Rodgers is the answer to the question.
That's great.
I mean, if Tom Brady doesn't win another game, if he was to go 0-16 next year, who cares? I mean, he's got, it doesn't matter. And the other two guys have plenty of time. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have time. Aaron Rodgers is 37. He doesn't have nearly as much time. Maybe he has one or two more. really good or great chances. But no, the answer is Aaron Rodgers.
That's a really great point because, like, I always talk about the Hall of Fame as, you know, it's a building where there are different wings. Like, Joe Montana is in a different wing than Eli Manning in the quarterback Hall of Fame room. You know what I mean? Like, there are guys.
He is.
Yeah. So, like, I think that is a like, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best I've ever seen, and he goes in first ballot. But you're right. A second Super Bowl championship makes it an even better story. Like, my first thought was Josh Allen, because to join the elite, you got to win that Super Bowl. Mahomes is going to have several years and probably more opportunities. And the Brady situation is one where you're like, wow, we ask this question all year long. You know, is it Brady or is it Belichick? Does Brady, if he wins another Super Bowl, but this time with the Bucs, does he prove the answer to that question is? But I like your take on Rodgers and where he kind of vaults himself in that pantheon of great quarterbacks with more than one Super Bowl title.
Yeah, I'd actually think that there's some value to that. I'm not going to look at Aaron Rodgers any differently in terms of worse off. I'm not. But, you know, when we get removed and we're looking back at these things historically in 10, 12, 15 years, what is it that people do? Well, they take the easiest way out mostly in these conversations. I look at all the quarterbacks. We were talking about this today relative to Philip Rivers. And Philip, there's only two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, only two, who never made it to a championship game. When I say championship game, I mean Super Bowl, or in the case of Bobby Lane, who won two of them in the 50s. You can't say, oh, Bobby Lane didn't get to a Super Bowl. Shut up. I don't want to deal with anybody who's too young and stupid to understand that the NFL existed for, you know, how many years before the Super Bowl? It existed 46 years and played for a championship before the Super Bowl even started. So I'm not going to take that away from Bobby Lane or George Blanda or whomever, Y.E. Tittle. Only two quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame never reached the league's championship game. You know who they are?
I don't think so.
Do you guys want to take a guess?
My brain is going a million miles an hour, and I'm trying to think here.
Warren Moon is one of them.
Okay, wow. That's really good.
Dan Fouts?
Dan Fouts. Bingo, there you go.
Look at you, Wild. Those are the only two.
Those are the only two. And obviously, there are quarterbacks who never won. Tarkenton, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly. I mean, there's some guys to me that when you go, Tarkenton went 0 for 3, right? I think Joe Capp was on one of those Minnesota teams that didn't win. So it's not 0 for 4. A lot of people think it is on Tarkenton. But Tarkenton had at least three shots at it, didn't win. Kelly had four shots at it. But to me, those guys are elevated in getting there multiple times and not winning. Particularly Jim Kelly, because they had the resilience to go four times in a row. I mean, disappointment did not stop them. And so Jim Kelly, to me, is above some guys who may have won one.
Am I foolish, Mike? Am I foolish for saying, like I said earlier, and I just kind of caught myself, that, well, Patrick Mahomes has already got one, and he's so damn good. He's the best in the game. He's going to have plenty of opportunities to win another one. And then I went back and I looked. I believe Aaron Rodgers was 26 when he won the one that he won.
Yeah, 2009, so that's 12 years ago.
I thought they were going to win three. I think I predicted that they were going to win three. Right. What an idiot I was, but I was caught up in the moment with just how good he was. Do we take it for granted that it's so difficult to win that even someone like Patrick Mahomes, it's hard to get that second win?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's even worse than taking it for granted, Tommy. I mean, for all of us. And we apply other standards that shouldn't be applied. You know, we start talking so often about the single most disturbing topic in sports to me is legacy. Like Tony and I were just saying yesterday, I've been covering sports for 40 years and him for 50. And the first 2/3 of our careers, we never used the word legacy in any conversation. Nobody ever talked about it. And now we got two generations of, excuse me, dopes. Who all they do is try to assess legacy instead of looking at someone and what they're doing now while they're playing. What's your legacy going to be? I just want to take the microphone out of somebody's hand and just slap them across the face with it when people start talking about legacy. And so we go often too often to that, and we use the NBA discussion where it's a sport. The NHL and the NBA are two sports where people, the teams, the sports are different. the superstars and their ability to impact the game. It's different than football, and people have multiples. Multiples is where you have to start in the NHL and the NBA. That's not the case in football. It just isn't, which makes Brad Shaw and Montana, you know, Brady's in a whole separate wing, speaking of wings, you know, it's different. And so we can't apply the Jordan, LeBron, Magic, Kareem. We can't apply that to pro football. And so it made me angry this spring when people, many of on our network, many of whom my colleagues have forgotten more about pro football than I'll ever know, started with the, well, they could win four or five in a row. Shut up. Stop. I mean, all you need to do is get a busted toe or a concussion the week before the Super Bowl, and you may not get a chance to get more than one. So it just makes me angry. I mean, winning is difficult at any level, you know? And so, you know, sometimes it would make me, when I think about it, and I hope I haven't fallen into this, you know, saying something about Greg Norman or, well, he only won two. Only won two majors. I mean, somebody should have slapped me if I ever said that. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to win at the highest level in any sport.
Yeah. All right, so to the Bears now. Role play for me here. You're Ryan Pace. Here's a phone. Here's the Texans' phone number. Go.
Oh, I don't want to use this because I chose the right guy, you know, 5 years ago. I chose Mitchell 5 years ago. Why would I want to revisit that? Because I know everything about football. So let me hand you the phone back, and you can make whatever call you want. Why don't you use it on Grubhub? Because I'm the all-knowing Ryan Pace. Why don't I just get another receiver out of West Virginia while I'm at it and pair him with a quarterback I trade up to get, and oops, neither one of them is on the field together. Why don't I just do that?
I like that chat.
Yeah, that was good. Here's your phone. Take your phone back.
Yeah, take the phone back. Let me put on another suit and look good.
You're now Tom Waddle, who's been named president of the Bears football operations. Here's the
phone. Like that. I'd vote for that.
Yeah.
I'd vote for that in a heartbeat.
So here's the Texans number. Call them.
Okay. I would call them and say, you know, you got to get rid of this guy. We know the nature of sports now. And while there's only a few players in pro football who have this leverage, this guy has this leverage. You've angered him. You've embarrassed him by lying to him. You know you're going to trade him. How do I get in this? Tell me what. How do I get in this trade? I screwed up, which is why the phone call will never take place, because he ain't about to admit that. He's not that guy. I screwed up. I want another shot at this. You guys screwed up more recently. You got to deal him. Let's talk. That's the conversation. Which I don't expect to take.
You don't think Pace would? I think, like, other people think it would be more likely that he would say no to the Bears because of Pace. But if I'm Pace, I'm groveling. I mean, I'm going to them and saying,
but he's not
going to
do that.
You don't think so? Come on.
What in his self-absorbed world, what leads you to think he's that guy?
Desperation.
Come on now.
He's
not feeling desperate. He's got another year or two.
And if he doesn't win, he's out. He's desperate. He needs him.
I'm not so sure I agree with the concept of if they don't win next year, they're out. That's just me. But I don't know how. I don't know that there's an ultimatum.
Did we lose Michael?
We did. We lost.
You
all right. We got a break anyway. So when we come back, we'll get reestablished with Michael. We'll expand more on the Bears conversation. I want to hear what he has to say.
I think he gets so angry about the whole concept of missing out on the draft. That
Ryan Pace cut him off, right? I wanted to get his review on the Tiger Woods documentary, too. And I want him to have him talk about Zach LaVine. All that coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, let's continue the conversation with Michael Wilbon. All right, wrap up the Bears thing. So you really don't believe the Bears would be all in with the Texans to try to get Deshaun Watson?
That's about one guy. Is that guy all in? Is anybody going to overrule him and say you better make that call? I don't know that. I mean, are the Bears, like the players and the coaches, would they be all in on Deshaun? Of course they would. the question is Ryan Pace make is he pursuing that? That's the question. I'd have to hear some convincing. I'd have to see or be brought some convincing evidence that he would.
How did you feel, Mike, about knowing when you found out that there were going to be no changes? Were you surprised? Were you disappointed? What were your thoughts?
Not surprised. I mean, I think we all knew after they got into the playoffs that no matter what happened in that playoff game, there would be no big changes. Disappointed? Yeah. Although, let me say this, though. Let me be as fair as I can be about it. If the coach wants to start adapting what he does to the players that he has, whoever they are, and whoever that quarterback is, then okay, I can live with that, but I better see evidence of that. Like, you got this chance, make the best of it. Don't come back with, you know, I don't want to coach this guy even though he's my starting quarterback. I don't want to see any more of that. But if he's learned his lesson, if we are going to see more of what we've seen in terms of just his handling of that. Now, they don't have good enough players to win. They don't have good enough players to even be in the conversation with Green Bay or New Orleans. But, you know, if the general manager can do that, and that's a big if, you know, one season can turn you because of your schedule going from a first-place schedule to a last-place. Obviously, the Bears won't be in a last-place schedule. But your season can turn based on who you acquire, how you handle free agency, and sort of what the division looks like otherwise. So let's see where they're going. Do I have a lot of faith in it? None whatsoever.
All right, do you have faith in what the Cubs are doing? They got rid of John Lester. They no interest. He wanted to give them a blank check like Andre Dawson did. They got rid of Schwarber. They got rid of Darvish. They don't seem to have any money. How down are you on the Cubs?
Well, I'm not down yet. Part of that is because I saw this team in 17, 18, 19, and 20, and they disappointed. I mean, they had a window there, and they didn't seem interested in climbing through it. You guys know, last year, or maybe it was year before last, I was angry. I didn't think the Cubs were mean enough, tough enough, determined enough. I didn't think it had to do with their physical talent. I thought it had to do with the club demeanor. And it wasn't what I want. They didn't have the battling in them, the fight that I wanted to see. So I'm okay with that. John Lester, God bless him. I don't think John Lester at this point. How old is Lester? 37? How old is Lester?
36 or 37.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he can be the guy from who went 19-5 and 16. And even in 15, when his record wasn't good, he had like a 3.2-something or 3.3-something ERA. I don't think that guy is there anyway. That's why you signed him to the contract you signed him to. And they got, even last year, 3-3, he could still battle. I know his ERA was pretty high. But I don't think you're going to see that guy anymore. I don't mind them starting over. I don't mind them starting over. I'm going to really be disappointed if they start over and I don't see anything. And I don't see in 2 years from now any sort of hint that they are climbing back again. Because I see some other teams climbing. One of them's on the south side. One of them's in San Diego. One of them's in Toronto. You know, those teams are climbing, and they're aggressive about it. And I know there's a time to get aggressive, and you can't necessarily get aggressive as you start the rebuild. But in a couple of years, I'd like to see it.
So you're in. It sounds like you're all in for like this sort of a mini rebuild.
I don't know about all in. That's what I'm telling you. I'm in. I'm kind of in.
Well, you know, don't have a choice.
I was all in before. There's no choice. That's right. There's no choice. You've got to feel right. A lot better about where the White Sox are than the Cubs right now. And I'll tell you who I'm close to all in on. You guys are going to be shocked. I'm close to all in on the Bulls. They did something that will go completely unnoticed because they're under the radar. Good. They're supposed to be under the radar. They're not any good yet. They did something this past week and a half that's really, to me, telling about the direction they're headed. They lost four consecutive last possession games. They lost to Sacramento, the Clippers, the Lakers, and OKC in overtime or double or whatever it was. Oh, at least one overtime. They lost to four teams on the road in last possession games. And instead of them going hangdog and saying, woe is us, they came back and beat Houston and Dallas back-to-back.
Yeah.
They lost to LeBron on a last possession in L.A. And they didn't hang their head. That, to me, that's a credit to the coaching staff they've got now and a changing, evolving demeanor of the players that says, no, we lost those games. All we've proven so far is we're good enough to lose by one. Let's win some games. They beat two playoff teams back-to-back. So I'm very impressed with the direction there. I know 6-8 is not going to vault them into the playoffs. But that's not what we're looking for out of them this year.
How much?
You know, how in are we going to be on the rebuild with the Bulls?
How do you feel about Zach LaVine is now averaging, I think, career highs in most statistical categories.
Yeah.
How do you feel about him and his arc and where he's headed and how much better he can get from even where he is now?
Real good. Just because I was having the same question as you, Tommy. The same questions, word for word. And the only way to get a real answer to that is to ask people, coaches and players. And I'm not talking about Bulls coaches and players. I'm talking about people that play against Zach LaVine. And I was told straight up by two All-Stars, current All-Stars, this week, that Zach LaVine is better in places than he's ever been. Like defense, for one, which people thought he was one of the worst defenders in the league. And they feel he is. The other night, he took on, Eric Gordon. He was like, I got Eric Gordon. And I was like, uh-oh, this may not end so well because this is not Zach LaVine's thing. It was his thing the other night. Again, I give full credit first. This is why the hiring of Billy Donovan and that staff, including Mo Cheeks, this is why that was important because player development. Remember, I kept saying one thing to you guys. How much better incrementally are these guys going to get? First over days and weeks and then over months. How much better? And so, I mean, I think we're headed in that direction. You know, you're getting contributions now, like from Garrett Temple and Denzel Valentine. You're getting veteran contributions from these guys that win games. So can they start winning games in a bunch? I don't know that. That may not be for right now. But Zach LaVine, look, the night after Zach LaVine, what did he go, 1-for-10 or something? He and Kobe White, they were like 1-for-15. Boom, they popped back, man. They bounced right back, and they won. And they beat an MVP candidate in Luka Doncic. So, you know, I like what I see from them. I don't want anybody saying, oh, Wilbon said no. No, what I'm saying is they're better. They're better. They look like they trust each other more, like they play with each other in better ways. It's just teammates. And so to me, that's how I'm judging them now. That's not how I'm judging the Bears. They're at a different place. They're supposed to be at a different place. You know, God knows we haven't talked about the Blackhawks. The fact that they could score a goal the other night before, you know, and get to within 5 goals of an opponent, they're at a totally different place. But I like where the Bulls are for now.
Yeah, we're on the same page. We had a lot of callers calling about the Bulls. Before we let you go, what did you think of the Tiger Woods documentary?
I haven't watched it.
Why?
I haven't watched it. No, because I don't know. Part of me doesn't want to watch it. I don't care about all this.
Oh, you got to.
No, I don't, because I don't care about the titillating stuff. And I hear a lot of that is in there. I don't care about that. I don't care about people's personal and private lives in that way. I just don't. That's just who I am. And so I've heard people talking about that element of it. And I understand there's the other element. Maybe I can fast forward through it. I have DVR'd it. I guess I'll watch it, but I'm not promising. And I want to know more about Tiger currently. Like, what's this latest back surgery, this procedure going to do? He came out of it before and won major championships. But can he do that now at 45 with a field that is just crowded up with killers? I mean, I think this generation of players, and we haven't gotten to the point of people winning like Matt Wolf and Morikawa won once. We haven't even gotten to this latest group after, the guys who are after Spieth and Rory and JT. We haven't even gotten, you know, DJ, we haven't gotten to this group that is 22 years old. So Tiger's got a list of killers he's got to go through with another back surgery. I care about that. I don't care about the other stuff. I just don't.
It's a list of killers that should send him a thank you note at the start of every golf season, because I think the average salary on the or winnings in purse money on the PGA Tour is probably over $750,000 or $800,000.
Amazing, isn't it, Tommy? That Tiger, like, has set them up.
My God, they were like, when Tiger got on tour, I believe there were like 2 or 3 guys that earned $1 million a year. And now I believe that there were anywhere between 95 and 100 guys on tour last year that made over $1 million in purse money. That's not even including the endorsements that they've
endorsements.
All
had. Yes. And you see, like I said, this young crew that's out there that walked out, and you're thinking, well, okay, they're not really going to win right away. Oops, wait, what? John Rahm. Like, John Rahm's 25 years old. There's a whole list of under 25 killers. And yes, they owe Tiger. I'm just not sure with another back surgery like this. I mean, just five yeah. back surgeries. My God, how many can he have? It does underscore the greatness of Tiger. Like, whatever we think the greatness is, we've underestimated. You know, and I don't know that this is not the last dance. I don't need to watch this. I don't care about some of that other stuff. Is it that good? Are you guys recommending
it? I thought it was
that?
Great.
I thought it was great. Really? Yeah, I haven't seen the second episode. The first one was good. Yeah.
All right. I love Tiger.
I know you do. I know you love him and appreciate him. All right. I probably need to get with the program. I probably need to go all in on the Tiger documentary. I admit I haven't done that yet, but we're just entering the beginning of golf fever now. As we move toward February 1st, so I need to get with the program, probably.
All right, enjoy the weekend. We will catch up when we have a Super Bowl matchup already. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you guys soon. Be well.
All right, I see Mark Giangreco's in the First Midwest Bank studio. And, Marky, I've got an update for you. This ABC7 and WGN feud.
Oh, is it grown?
That you started. Sparked.
Has it blossomed?
There's been a twist.
Oh, really?
There's been a twist, and someone is trying. There's been an insider trading move, and I will share that with you coming up next.
Okay.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Mark Giangreco's in the First Midwest Bank studio.
All right, is there a fight going to happen?
So let me give you the update.
Can I preface all this first? I hope this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're having a lot of fun with this.
Yeah.
I like those guys. I respect them. They do a great job. It's fun to do this kind of stuff.
What about the people at Channel 2 and Channel 5 that you completely
dissed? Yeah, whatever. I don't even know anybody over there anymore. Okay. But, you know, because local TV news is very challenged right now. We're trying to come up with new ways to, you know, stay relevant.
Maintain your viewership.
Everybody's got the same problems. I wish everybody well. But I was lucky enough to have the experience of being in this business in the 70s, 80s, 90s, in the early 2000s, when it really was Anchorman the movie.
Yeah.
It really was viciously contentious, and people would rip each other in the paper every day. Like I said a million times, we'd unplug each other's live shots. We get in fist fights in the locker room.
Bunch of babies.
And there was that kind of stuff happening.
It's cheating. How could you unplug someone's live shot? That's not competing.
Well, they deserved it. You know.
And you have You have the nerve then to get on your soapbox about the New England Patriots and what they would try to do to win.
Yeah,
that's a whole other thing. That's
the nerve.
You're dealing with pure evil there. That's not competition.
Yeah, we would never
initiate trying to technically hinder a competitor.
Other than pulling their plug on their
broadcast.
Only
if they did it to us. It was a retaliatory thing.
Yeah, okay.
But my point is, don't get me going now. Don't drift me off into the wrong channel here. Back then, though, you know, I told these stories a million times. It was at its height with Johnny Morris, Tim Weigel, and Chet Kopic. And it was fueled by all the TV critics. Because back then, if you were a news anchor, sportscaster, meteorologist, you're a big celebrity in this town. That ship sailed about 20 years ago. Now we're just trying to, you know, stay employed. But
don't get Cap started.
It was pretty exciting. It was pretty exciting.
Your Cap, with salary.
Oh, no, I'm just saying because we had that conversation.
That just came out of the blue too. Why did that?
I don't know.
Where did that come
from? So where are we at now?
Let me give people a little bit of background if they're just tuning in and they don't know. First of all, Mark Giangreco is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert.
Yeah.
Check out my guy Ryan Kelly. Time to refinance. If you're looking for a new home, get pre-approved today. The Home Loan Expert.
Is it too much to refinance every week? Should we do that?
I don't think you can. It's you're not legal, but you can.
Not legal?
You can, there is a time, you know, span that you can.
Okay.
So this was a couple of days ago. We played it yesterday. This was Larry Potash and the WGN Morning News going after ABC7.
What I said is the people at Channel 7 are nice people.
Yeah.
Their newscasts are just boring. That's all I said.
Okay.
And no, you say you think they think their viewers are stupid.
Oh, that's right. I said they think
their viewers are stupid because they're constantly telling them to bundle up if it's cold outside.
Yeah. That's it.
Grab your umbrella. It's raining.
I'm glad you clarified that. So send your email to Channel 7 now because they're the ones who think you're stupid. He's just pointing out that they think you're stupid. Yeah. You should be thanking him.
Gene Kreck is stewing again over here.
No, I'm not. It just shows you, because Larry would even bring it up, it's how desperate they are to try to beat us. Like, why would you even bring it up?
Well, do you know how it came up?
Those people at Channel 7. Yeah, and the other thing, like, I have to repeat this from yesterday. General managers and news directors make all reporters and weather people overreact and do that kind of crap. Hey, we live in Chicago. It's wintertime. Here it is. Boom. But all the consultants, they come in and they demand that you talk about bundle up, get your umbrellas, wear your gloves, check on the old people, make sure the heat's on. You know, they make us do that.
Let me just reiterate,
every newscast has its style, okay? WGN purposely puts on the most boring newscast they can.
Not the morning show, though.
No,
the morning show is more upbeat and fun.
I'm getting to that, Sylvie.
All right. Well,
I told you he's gassed up. You got him gassed up.
So the rest of their stuff is like, we're going to be boring and plain and simple because we're like the neighborhood guys. Hey, Chicago's very own.
Does Bobby know that you're swinging at him right now?
I'm not swinging at Bobby.
Yeah.
Because sports is totally different. We're in the toy department. We're separate. We don't even want to know what's going on in the newsroom. Okay.
Unplug his live shot.
Yes. And the other thing is, if you worked in the kitchen of a restaurant, would you ever eat there? No way. So I'm not even going to watch a local newscast when I'm not working. Okay?
Because
I got to worry about my own little segment. Okay? I would like to be the news director and run the whole show, of course. But I just worry about my little segment because I'd go nuts watching anybody's stuff because I go, that's ridiculous. Every station. Every newscast. Okay
Sylvie,
so what's
what
the new twist now?
So the twist is now Larry Potash has supposedly gotten word of this, and he has now followed me on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
And I am thoroughly waiting to see if he slides into my DMs.
I think he just followed
me today, too.
See, there you go. He's gotten wind of this. I think there's
I got to start following Larry. Larry, follow me. Okay.
You guys overreact to everything that it's raining.
I'm not overreacting.
Or is this a standoff? He's got to follow you before you follow him?
Now we can have a conversation. Yeah. By the way, I think years ago, Larry actually interviewed for a job at Channel 7. Many years ago.
And he didn't get it, so he had to go to WGN.
You know, it's not bad.
It wasn't network news.
No, it's not bad.
Independence.
It's a safety school.
Hey, you don't make it in Chicago, you go to Peoria for a while, and then maybe you get called up.
It's like this is the whole Mike Singletary conversation. I don't want any part of it.
Hey, listen,
I'm 54 almost. I don't need this shrapnel in my life.
I want to talk about Mike Singletary. Where was that going?
So Adam Johns brought up today.
Right. I want to talk about that.
He's reporting that they interviewed him as a DC defensive coordinator.
Okay, tell the story? I'll tell you the story quickly.
Because I wanted to talk about the Singletary.
Okay. Sylvie and I interview Mike. How many years ago was that?
Years ago. He was just coming off the San Francisco job.
Okay. So tell him, we're doing it in that studio over there at the time. So, I mean, what was your question to him, Sylvie? Why are your pants off? I mean, it was that quick.
It was about the San Francisco experience, and I wanted to know, as the leader that he's been, as the guy who's a Hall of Famer, why did it cross his mind in the middle of a pep talk to pull his pants down? Do you remember the story? The word was he pulled his pants down in front of his players and took it out.
I'm going to get yelled at again.
Huh?
I'm going to get yelled at again.
Wait, he whipped out his junk?
No,
I didn't hear that part.
Stop it. I just said he took it out.
You just said he whipped it out.
No, he took his pants out and he took it out. I didn't say whip anything.
You said he took it out. What is that supposed to mean?
He took it out. Well, I mean, come on now.
Okay. Well, I was just clarifying
So I said, Mike,
I don't think anything was taken out, for the record.
Right. Yeah, let's make that clear.
He just dropped his pants.
grab then. I think he was alluding to having something.
No, I don't know what you've been watching.
Don't say think. Let's get the facts here.
What videos you're watching, but there was no grabbing.
Merkin texted me, and he's saying this is still when he was the coach, and it was during their bye week that we got him on. Right. So he's the coach, and I'm asking him, and I'm saying, Mike, as someone who I've looked up to, as someone who is a Hall of Fame player, as someone who is a leader of men, I'd like to know the thinking behind taking your pants off in front of your team and why you thought that was the right move.
Okay, so Mike answers the question. It became kind of an uncomfortable conversation for a while. I was blessed to be his teammate for 4 years, I believe. I didn't want any part of that portion of the conversation, so I just kind of stayed quiet. Fast forward several years later, and the Bears are celebrating the 85 team. I don't know what year was it. I mean, it was probably what? What year would it have been? How long?
I bet it was the 30th anniversary.
It was the 30th anniversary in 2015. Probably so, right. So at Soldier Field, after a show,
right.
I got to drive over to Soldier Field. I'm hosting the 30-year celebration of the 1985 team.
I remember
that. It's at Soldier Field.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's there, except a few of the members. But it was the greatest, the biggest, and most fantastic turnout of all. And I'm thrilled to be there. I'm kind of overwhelmed of, you know, the football greatness is around me. And, like, before the program starts, and I'm basically the MC for this, Mike, who was my teammate, came up to me and said, "Hey, Mike, how you been? Good to see you." His first statement to me was, "I didn't appreciate the line of questioning when I joined you guys."
Wow, that was festering.
I immediately felt 2 feet tall.
Wow.
I felt shame course through my body.
Didn't you say it wasn't me, it was Sylvie?
I immediately threw Sylvie under the bus.
Good.
And told him that, like, "Mike, you know how much I appreciate you and I respect you. And I, you know what, it was a question that my radio partner, Mark Silverman, felt it was necessary to ask.
Huge nerd.
That's on him.
Don't
That's
like him. Don't
me.
Hang around with him outside the office."
And then, like, I had to then go through the whole program for an hour and a half. Like, I'm about to have an anxiety attack. I'm going to puke. I feel 2 inches tall. I feel shame. And, like, it was,
so,
like,
he
was
why did you do that? Why'd you do that to Tom?
Well, look, you trained me. You've always taught me to ask
go
the
for
tough
the
questions.
So we come back around, and so the point now is like, I'm not getting into any of these shenanigan talks anymore.
Oh.
I know. Like, Sylvie's like, you know, hey, I'm like, I don't care. Move along.
All right, so if you're not going to do it, Mark, when we come back, I want you to give us a thumbs up or thumbs down to Mike Singletary as a possible defensive coordinator.
Okay, I have plenty to say about
it. I still feel shame.
I feel
bad
for you.
Years later, I feel shame. It wasn't me, Mike. It was him.
I think Sylvie should be suspended for that.
And then we'll find out what Larry Potash's next move is to get Gene Greco. It's Waddle and Sylvie. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at the Home Loan Expert. The new year is here. Let's get it kicked off right with a cash-out refinance. Check out Ryan Kelly today at thehomeloanexpert.com.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, this article from the San Francisco Chronicle stated October 31st, 2008, Singletary dropped pants at halftime, reads the headline. Mike Singletary's motivational message to the 49ers on Sundays in his inaugural game as head coach also included a visual aid. When his team hit the Candlestick Park locker room at halftime, trailing the
Candlesticks make a nice gift.
20-3, Singletary called everyone to attention. He dropped his pants.
Was he at attention?
And he pointed to his rear end to fully illustrate what the coach thought of his player's performance.
Okay.
According to a report that was originally on Extra 910, Singletary then berated his team for 3 to 4 minutes with his pants around his ankles. Singletary denied the stunt, which clearly didn't work. The 49ers lost 34-13.
Well, look it.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm going to talk about it.
He left his boxers on, though, the story
says. Yes.
Yes.
We didn't see little Mikey at all?
No, and he didn't pull it out. He did not pull it out.
So you just said he did. You got to take that back.
That's why I was asking the question.
Okay, move along.
Tom's going to go wash up, and I'm going to take this segment here. Look, I love Mike Singletary, all right? He's motivated by that kind of stuff. He's all emotion. That was his game. He took that to coaching. It didn't work. It crashed. He didn't have enough experience. That 49er thing was a total disaster. Nobody respected him as a coach. He didn't have his players. The whole Vernon Davis thing, it was the speech that's right there with, you know, all the others that you hear that are kept in the vault. It's embarrassing. You know, one, he's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players of all time. People say, oh, he couldn't cover anybody. You know, he was a one-dimensional linebacker. Look, he was the captain, the signal caller of the greatest defense of all time, arguably. Okay? Wonderful man. I love the guy. He negotiated his own contract. And I remember at practice one day, I've told this story a million times, I interviewed him. I go, Mike, congratulations on your new deal. He goes, how'd you find out? You know, I had a source, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you know, I asked for $1 million. That's all I wanted. $1 million a year. It could be all incentives. I didn't care. I just wanted to reach $1 million a year, which was, you know, pretty good back then. He goes, did you think I asked for enough? And I said, no, you didn't. He's like, what? So we walk away. He's walking in the locker room and he goes, hey, Gino. He used to call me Gino because I don't think he knew my real name. Gino. He comes back. He goes, what should I have asked for? I'm like, you got to go $3-4 million with these guys. But he then tried to get in the coaching ranks right away. And he has bounced around forever. Most recently, he was coaching in that spring league down in San Antonio in the Alamo Dome where you have six teams wearing weird uniforms. And these guys have bounced around in every, you know, generic Acme League there's been, still trying to make it. He was coaching down there last month. So he gets an interview with the Bears for the DC job this week. And I know it's just a token interview because they're not going to hire him. And I think it's sad. And Mike has really been working hard on learning how to coach all the other positions, learning offense. He didn't know any of that. He was very one-dimensional as a player. He was focused on defense and playing middle linebacker. So this has been hard for him, and I'm rooting for him. The other thing is, the Bears never hire former players as coaches or front office people. Never.
That's not true. Ron Rivera started here. He was the DC then.
Not like other
Richard
teams.
Richard Dent coached.
Oh, how long did Richard Dent coach?
I mean, Ditka's the coach. Ditka was a star here.
He gave me two examples.
I gave you three.
No. Richard Dent Ditka, coached for about 5 seconds. He was like a consultant. He was like when Tony La Russa shows up at spring training as a consultant.
Their most well-known coach besides Papa Bear is Mike Ditka, who was a star here. Okay?
Larry Potash on his brain right now.
There are other teams that welcome in former players in bunches in the front office and the coaching ranks. The Bears don't do that. Ditka's the exception. And Ron Rivera has succeeded in spite of the Bears. Okay?
Can you believe Lovey fired Ron Rivera?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I didn't get
the egos. Like, and Ron has proven to be such a good coach. Yeah.
Do you think Lovey felt threatened? I don't think Lovey has that kind of personality.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I've never even asked Ron about that.
Yeah.
Not that, well, I would share it if
maybe
he did
you
tell
could
me.
Just ask Ron about it, you know. Very tastefully.
Just call you
leave
and tell
Sylvie
you.
Out of the conversation.
Yeah, right.
So you don't piss Rivera.
Yeah, right. My God.
Is there anything else we need to go over here? I'm just trying to get
Hawks
everything
gonna
straight.
Are the Hawks going to win a game?
No,
are they going to win?
No, they're not. You're auditioning three really mediocre goalies who have no experience except Subban, but he's not any good. Okay? This kid last night, everybody was like, wow, he was solid. He was overmatched. And Delia, he's a backup. So they have no defense, none. Goaltending, very shaky. And they have sporadic scoring. Although I was thoroughly entertained by Patrick Kane's classic backhand roof shot. And nobody can make that shot.
I got to tell you, too, and I know I've been late to this party, but the more I watch it, because I caught the game with the
Patrick
last
Kane's
15
good.
Minutes.
No, he's good. He's
shut your
play.
Mouth. You watch your mouth. No, but I love three-on-three hockey.
So do I.
I really do.
Oh,
I really do. I thought
fantastic.
It was gimmicky when it first.
Oh, it's so
I love it. I really do. I think it's fantastic.
So when it goes to overtime now, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because
I don't like shootouts, but I'll take them.
I like it.
And
all,
I'm glad they're not in the playoffs. They don't use any of that stuff in the playoffs.
So you're back tomorrow, one more time tomorrow, right?
Back to back.
And you'll preview your Bills then, because I know you're off Friday.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes at practice today. Hey, bring it. 100%.
Okay? Gotta, you don't want that.
I don't care if the Bills lose to the Chiefs. I want to be thoroughly entertained.
Beat the best.
Oh, that is a crock of crap.
They can be in the.
You just said, I don't care if the Bills lose to the Chiefs. I just want to be entertained. Get out.
It's gravy
now.
You're lying.
I'm going to drive my pants and get in the elevator.
Maybe Larry Potash will call in tomorrow and we could have this fight already.
You know, you've manufactured this fight. There is no fight.
Thank you. You went on about cutting people's live shots.
I'm doing radio. We did that back in the 80s and 90s when we were ruthless.
Thank you to Michael Wilbon and Mark Jean Greco.
Just old and nice now.
We're just too lazy. Yeah.
Great job by Black and Abdallah.
Which plug is it? I don't know.
They're going to entertain you coming up in 2 short minutes from right now. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.